This morning, I thought we'd start in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, and verse 16. And it says, "And the Philistines drew near in the morning and the evening and presented themselves 40 days." There was a battle. Israel on one side of the valley, Philistines on the other side, armies gathered together. But the 40 days, I thought, was interesting. So for 40 days, these guys have been coming out, and they've been facing each other. And maybe Hank knows what that 40 days may tie into something else, but it sounds like it should. And Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now thy brethren, an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." So David was supposed to go, and he was supposed to see his brothers and bring back a good report, maybe a token of some sort. So David is going to be in the mix of things here in a second. "And now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David arose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went, and as Jesse had commanded him, he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. And he saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came a champion, the Philistines, a champion of the Philistines, of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words that David heard them." Amen. So for 40 days, this giant's been coming out there and taunting the armies of Israel. For 40 days. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid." This guy must have been pretty scary from what I have read, the different counts of the height, the size of this guy. He could have been somewhere between 9-something and 13 feet, depending on what a cubit and a span actually is. He was a big dude. He was the baddest of the baddest that the Philistines had. Amen? So, with that said, we'll continue. All right. "And all manner of men of Israel, when they saw him, they fled and were sore afraid." Okay, so we know that. They were afraid and they ran. "And the men of Israel said, Here, ye have seen this man that is come up, surely to defy Israel. He is come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And he will give to him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And he taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Amen. What is David seeing here? I mean, nobody else had the same picture of this guy. Everybody else fled. Everybody else ran. Amen. They were afraid. David's like, what'll be done? What do you get if you kill this guy? Tell me again. Tell me again about this. Amen. And so basically, you know, hey, you're going to have some great riches. You get the king's daughter. She's kind of cute. You get, you're tax-free. Amen. It's a big one by itself. Okay. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done unto this man that killeth him. And then we got his brother. We got the kinfolks chiming in here, okay? And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Amen? Kind of trying to belittle a little, right? Who left those few little sheep? Amen? I know thy pride and thy haughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that mightest see the battle. But I like what David had to say. I like David's answer, his reply. Amen. And I believe that it spans the test of time, even to today. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. The cause. That was the thing. There was a cause. You got the giant's knocking on your door. He's outside. He's waiting to take you down. He's come to kill and to destroy. Amen. Is there not a cause? Amen. There is a cause. Amen. And God will be glorified in this. Amen. And he turned himself to another and spake the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go. Let no man's heart fail. I'll take care of it. Amen. This will be me, man. I'll take care of it for you. David knew who he was. Amen. In God. He knew whom he trusted. Amen. It wasn't just David and his strength. It was who he was. Amen. Because of who he is. Okay. I will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth. And this man, he is a man of war from his youth. This man was well practiced. He had grown up in the arts of war. Amen. He was bad, like I said. David, being a shepherd, he raised sheep. Amen. He didn't tear stuff up. He protected stuff. He kept it. Amen. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. Amen. And I mean, these lions aren't the mountain lions I don't think we got here. They're like African lions. Amen. These guys were big. And it says, let me start over here. And there came a lion and a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, hit him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Amen. I grabbed him with my bare hands and I took him down. Amen. There's not a lot of us that have run into that. Not a lot of us have done that. Amen. But there was something that empowered David that he could do that. Amen. That lion and that bear, they didn't stand a chance. And And thy servant slew both of the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Already has a victory. He's already speaking it. It's a done deal. Amen. Make sure I don't skip here. All right. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he stayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David took them off. He put them off of him. Amen. And he took up his staff in his hand. Man, his shepherd's staff. That was what he was used to. And I'm telling you, that what God puts in your hand is more than enough. And he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, and he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Amen. I know we talked about this on Wednesday night a little bit, but, you know, he picked up 5 stones, and sometimes I've wondered why, you know, he picked up 5 if the Lord was with him, and maybe one should have been enough unless you're a bad shot. We covered that. But Goliath had 4 brothers. Amen. And you go picking on one of the kinfolks, the others aren't going to be happy. Amen. So he had one for everybody. I think David had a bigger picture of what could be. Amen. Of this battle. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. This guy's got his own armor bearer that's packing a shield for him. And the Philistine looked about and saw David, and it disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's like, you know, as we go on here, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you send me this kid? It was insulting. Amen. He was looking for one of the bad guys of Israel, right? He was looking for somebody in the army, right? Not this kid that has no armor and has a shepherd's staff and a sling. I don't know if you guys ever used a sling. I think Pastor Henry asked this a while back. But you can get pretty good with those. And that rock comes out of there. It moves. Amen. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Bad mistake. The battle was his. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give my flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou hast come to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield. All the things of the carnal. Everything to fight this battle. He's got all the equipment, right? In the natural. He's got everything. Plus the size. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Amen. David had a higher power. There was a higher calling. He knew there was something more than him. Amen. There was God. Amen. And he was fighting for him. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from me. He didn't even have a sword, but he was speaking it. Amen. David didn't have a sword at that time. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen? Amen. So God's going to get the glory. So all the earth will know, amen, that there is a God. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands. Amen? Have you guys got something? You ever had an attack or something coming against you? Whether it be sickness or disease or anything. The battle is yours. Amen? Amen? God has already done and given that. Amen? Amen. For he will give it into your hands. Amen. You have a situation you need fixed, God has that for you. There is a victory. Amen. I can tell a little David and Goliath story of my own. I wasn't facing a giant like Goliath, but my mom and my wife will remember. They all went through it. We had a construction company, and we're doing a lot of work, and we ended up not getting paid, about $340,000, if I remember right. It was something in there. So when you don't get paid, you just stay in business. You got to still come up some way to try to pay your creditors to keep materials come to the job so you can pay off these things and keep going. Well, we kind of made a mistake because we paid those guys to keep going, and the IRS didn't like that very well for some reason. Amen? There was some payroll taxes that we held up for a little bit so we could try it, because, I mean, it was tight. This was in the 80s, in early 80s, $340,000. You could probably double that now or so. So the deal is you don't want to do that because they're going to put penalties and they're going to charge you interest and they're going to nail you until you can pay that. Well, so we're like, well, look, we got some money. We want to pay you guys a certain amount. We're going to sell some machines, backhoe and stuff, and we'll be able to try to pay off most of this, you know, right now. Nope, we don't take payments. We're not a bank. That's what they told us. And so, you know, every day we got interest being accrued. We got more penalties. So the only thing left to do was hire a lawyer. So you take that money you were going to give to them, and now you give it to the lawyer. Amen? So then he can file some stuff to kind of stop that stuff from accruing there and nailing you. Okay, so that money that could have went to pay off this debt, it was now going to pay lawyers and attorneys. Amen? So then you go along and you're trying to keep paying everybody off. We were doing really good. We were getting everybody paid. But then one day the IRS comes and they say, we weren't paid in full today. And I was like, whoa, we can't do that. So then they shut you down. So then we had to go get our own personal lawyers, because now it's on a personal level. It was the type of business it was, being a partnership. We're all each responsible for our half, okay? So Then you go to the attorney and you pay him large amounts of money so that he can look at you and he can come up with something. And, you know, we told him, we went in there and we said, "Man, you know, we need help. We need to get this done. And we're looking for the Lord to do something here for us." And man, that attorney looked right at us. He says, "You're going to need him. Because you're young enough that this thing's not going to go away. You're going to be paying for it the rest of your life, blah, 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 blah." Long story. So, anyway, you do the legal action stuff. And on the day that it went to court, you know, we'd been praying, "God, help us, however you can do it." So when it went to court, my lawyer sees that the IRS hadn't filed their paperwork. They had messed up. And he tells the judge, "Hey, Your Honor, why does my client have to obey all the rules, but the IRS doesn't have to?" And I'm not trying to pick on the IRS. If we got any IRS guys out here, whatever. This was, you know, if we would have paid them, it would have been great. Okay? So with that said, he's like, "Well," the judge scratches his head, I've never had this happen before. And so he says, my lawyer says, "Hey, I move that we dismiss this case against my client." Judge says, "Done." Amen. So, I do. I do know a little bit about giants. So when the giants come, you have an advocate. Amen. There's always hope. Because of who he is. Amen. Amen. So there was something a little different about David, right? He knew something that the whole Israeli army, nobody else had. He had something that they didn't. Amen. Amen. You, every one of you, has something. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 3:11, please, if we could. You know, I always watch that movie, The Ten Commandments, all the time. I mean, when I was a kid, that was like the greatest movie ever. You know, because God used Moses. That was kind of cool. I thought, wow. And in a mighty way. I mean, he got to see him. He got to talk to him. Even though, I mean, it had to be scary going up against that mountain when it was smoking and fire and trembling and stuff was dying around it if they touched it. But, so I always did enjoy that. But in here, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses was given a task, amen. Who am I? I'm just Moses. I left that place once. I really don't want to go back. I can't even talk right. I mean, that's what he was. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, that ye serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and that they shall say to me, what is this name? And what shall I say unto them?" And I like God's reply. And God said to Moses, "I am that I am." Amen. There is no other. I am everything you could have ever wanted. I am everything you could ever need. I am every answer to every problem. Amen. There is hope in me, and there is victory. Amen. God is on top of this stuff. And he saith, "Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Amen. I am. I am. I am. I like that. And in verse 15, it says that God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you, and this is my name forever." Amen. Man, he doesn't change, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. "This is my name forever. I am the same. If I delivered the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's hand, I can deliver David from the giant." Amen. "If we have sickness and disease in the house, I am that God that can heal that." Amen. He is our deliverer. Amen. The first and the last. Let's go to Hebrews. Sorry about the Hebrews 11:32. Okay. "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness." Is there not a cause? Amen. Is there not a cause to bring righteousness? They obtained the promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Amen. Is there not a cause? Amen. Quenched the violence of fire. Amen. Is there not a cause? They escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong and waxed valiant in fight and turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Amen. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Amen. Is there not a cause? Are there not sick out there? Is there not a cause? Is the world not a dark place? Is there not a cause? I don't know about you guys, but they always play those commercials like the Shriner Kids and stuff like that. And these guys are really sick. Men, these are not a cause. And I think that's what we have to ask ourselves and realize who we are in Him. That the world needs help. We need each other in here. Amen. There is a cause. And we need Him. And we need each other. We need to be that light. Amen. And speaking of that light, let's go to St. John 14 and 6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. There's no other way. There's no other truth. I am it. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. He's our hope. He's the light. Awesome. Let's go to the same chapter. Let's go down to verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. Amen? So you guys, I don't think we realize who we are. Amen? I think we've kind of forgotten that. Amen? That he does the work. We just go. Hey, somebody needs prayer? Let's pray. He does the work. Amen? It's him. And so, it makes it easy. Amen? Ooh, where was I? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. And if any shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's not a maybe, it's a I will. Amen. All right. Let's just close with prayer, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and given us. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Father, that you touch our hearts, that we seek your face, that God, that you have filled us and anointed us to do your work, Lord. And that we thank you and we praise you and we seek you, Lord, in your ways. And God, we ask that you go with each and every one and that you get them home safely, Father, and that your light will shine brightly in each and every one. And we thank you, Lord, as we go out today for such a great day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.